Does your basement leak only when it rains? At PermaSeal, we believe your basement should be dry all the time. For a free estimate, you know who to call, PermaSeal. 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
Blackhawks Live. Tonight on Blackhawks Live, a new season, different faces, and the drive to win.
Jones high slot, fires, pants it, rebound, score! Connor Bedard, Donato to Nazar over the blue line, down the slot, he shoots, he scores! Frank Nazar on a breakaway!
Join Charlie Remiliotis as he dives into what's next for the Hawks. Here's Charlie.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Welcome to Blackhawks Live. Charlie Remiliotis here, back from the three-day holiday break in the NHL where the Blackhawks were off since December 23rd. They woke up very early this morning to fly to Buffalo, and they're going to be back in action tonight at 6 o'clock. I got Jack Heinrich riding shotgun with me. Jack, man, you've been everywhere today. You've been doing the sports. You got Bears brain. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Got to shift it to the hockey now.
I'm trying to get rid of the Bears brain.
Well, it's funny.
Yesterday.
So I was watching the game yesterday and then just driving into the studio today, and I was like, oh, yeah, the Bears, the last win came October 13th. I was like, where were the Blackhawks at in their schedule? The Hawks had just come off their third game of the regular season. They'd beaten Edmonton 5-2 on October 12th, and then the very next day is when the Bears had that win against London.
Oh, yeah.
So it's literally, I feel like this Blackhawks season has been, we're not even at the halfway point, but it felt so long ago, that win over Edmonton, that I was like, that was the last time the Bears had won a game. That's wild.
Yeah, that is wild. I was looking at it yesterday doing sports, and it's like, whoa, that was the marathon day. It's just a mess getting in here, and that was the last time the Bears made everybody happy. So we don't need to talk about them anymore. So.
Yeah, well, not much great to talk about the Blackhawks the last two games going into the holiday break. The Hawks were coming off a three-game winning streak. It was their first three-game winning streak since February of 2023, and the Hawks were looking to capitalize on it and string together a fourth, potentially fifth consecutive win in a row. And unfortunately, some old habits resurfaced for the Blackhawks in the Calgary game. The Hawks had given up two goals in a span of 67 seconds and then ended up giving up two goals in a span of 2 minutes and 3 seconds later on in that game. And then in the Winnipeg or in the Minnesota game, Hawks go up 2-1 against the Wild. And then 49 seconds later, the Wild make it 2-2. And it kind of rallied the Minnesota Wild, who overcame 2 one-goal deficits to beat the Blackhawks. So it's unfortunate, Jack, that I thought the Hawks were building some momentum, especially winning three in a row at home and in the fashion that they did it. And unfortunately for Chicago, they weren't able to capitalize on the games in Calgary and Minnesota. And now starting tonight in Buffalo, they're going to hope to try to start a new winning streak.
Yeah, I mean, you're hoping to take advantage of this Buffalo. I know that they won their last game, but they had lost the previous 13. So hopefully you get the three-day break, and then you're coming out here quick for a game against Buffalo, so hopefully they can muster it up. But yeah, I mean, it was those old habits, unfortunately, with this team, and they kind of went away at the beginning with Anders. I mean, they had a little up and down, but it did feel like you're kind of, they go back on the road, and they just kind of automatically revert back to like what they were doing. That Minnesota game, I mean, it was a back and forth, and they kind of lost control, and then they stormed back, which has kind of been their MO in those last 10 minutes, just coming back against some teams, but not being able to get across the finish line and get the win. But hopefully these 3 days, they had some time to relax and chill, and I think Pat Maroon had Lucas Reichel over for Christmas, which was nice.
Did you see that? Did you see the picture that he uploaded?
I did.
It was hilarious.
He's sitting in the sleigh with his family, so hopefully they had some of that good vibes going into this game.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned those third periods. The Hawks, I was looking up a stat before I was going to share it on the pregame, but I'll just share it now. In the last seven games, the Hawks have scored 14 goals in the third period. In their first 28 games of the season, the Hawks had just 18 third-period goals. So they're almost 14 third-period goals in the last seven games. That leads the entire NHL over that stretch. Hawks were dead last in that department in third-period goals in the first 28 games. So it's kind of wild to think how the Blackhawks have really turned things around. Some of those games, you know, I look at the Islanders and Calgary, they scored kind of, I don't want to say garbage time goals, but they were down 5-1 in those games and ended up scoring three in the third period. But you look at the Washington game, and the Hawks were down 2-0 going into the third period, and then unfortunately the Blackhawks, or and then they were down 2-0 in that third period, and they rallied to win in regulation. So I thought that was impressive. We got more to get to on Blackhawks Live. Back here on Blackhawks Live, Charlie Romeliotis with Jack Heinrich. Got a full hour of Blackhawks Live that leads into our half-hour pregame show, Jack. So it's basically an hour and a half pregame show. And it kind of reminded me, kind of preparing for the Winter Classic, at least for me, with Kevin Powell and I are going to be at Murphy's Bleachers on New Year's Eve from 1 to 3:30. That will lead into Blackhawks pregame show at 3:30. And then we'll get ready for the Winter Classic. I saw some of the videos that were coming out of Wrigley Field. I think the NHL is doing like a time lapse on every day that goes by. And Jack, the ice looks fairly ready to go. It's kind of just putting the finishing touches. And I'm kind of excited to see. Although I will say, I was looking at the weather forecast. There looks to be some rain that we might be trying to dodge on New Year's Eve. So hopefully that stays away so it doesn't impact the ice in any way. But I'm excited, looking forward to the Winter Classic that's going to be right around the corner.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I saw a snow rain mix, so that doesn't sound fun, but we still got what, like 5 days or 3 days? I don't even know what
Tuesday.
Day it is.
Yeah. They all blend in.
Yeah, so Tuesday, yeah. We still got a few days for the weather to change, as it always does.
Yeah.
That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, exactly. The temperature looks like it's going to be nice, but yeah, hopefully the rain stays away. But getting back to the Blackhawks, so I was just trying to think. So going into the break, Hawks found themselves dead last in the NHL, but I do feel like they have made some strides under new Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen. Most notably, I think the Hawks are getting far more 5-on-5 scoring than they had in before the coaching change. I think the goals per 60 minutes at 5-on-5 prior to the coaching change was like 1.9, and last season it was 1.77. So it's like the Hawks are right there on a similar trajectory or similar pace as last year. But in the last five games, Jack, the Blackhawks have scored at least three goals, and a lot of those have come at even strength. That they aren't these, you know, Hawks. What was it? The game was it? No, the Hawks ended up losing 6-3 a couple weeks ago. It was the Columbus game, but it was like all three goals were on the power play. And so,
right,
it's nice to see the Hawks generating some offense that's not on the man advantage.
Yeah, they've been scoring. I mean, it was like a month, for like a month straight, where like they've only scored one or two goals, and like that's really hard to win that way. So now they're starting to get it, and on 5-on-5, and if they can get a few on 5-on-5, their special teams have been so good. I mean, the penalty kill's been great, and then the power play's been in the top half. So it's been marrying all that stuff together, and the way Anders Sorensen has them playing in the new system with a little bit more aggressiveness and all that. I mean, Connor Bedard's been a lot better. Tyler Bertuzzi's been better. And they're on the same line together now. So hopefully those guys keep it going, because it's really hard to win 2-1 games every single night in the NHL.
No question. I think I forgot to look this up right before we came on, but the Hawks record, it's been a stat that I've been kind of keeping track of pretty much all season. Their record when they score two goals or fewer is like 2-20. And when it's when they score three goals or more, it's like 10-something or whatever, like 10-3-0 or whatever. So it's, if the Hawks can find a way to score three goals in a hockey game, you get two at even strength, one maybe on the power play, man, you're going to give yourself a pretty decent chance of winning the hockey game. They are going to get, well, hopefully some sort of scoring help on the fourth line tonight. That Filip Kurashev is going to be returning to the lineup after he's been a healthy scratch for the last four games. Kurashev ranked second on the team last season in points with 54. This season he has only five in 28 games. Yeah, 28 games, three goals, two assists. Man, they need some production out of him, and I think him starting on the fourth line and kind of working his way back up into the lineup on some level, like he started in a top six role this season, but the message is clear. You know, sat out for four games, he's drawing back into the lineup in a fourth line role, and now I think Anders Sorensen is like, okay, show me that we should move you higher by your performance.
Yeah, and that's just the reality for Kurashev at this point. You just seemed like he was out, just the odd man out, and now they're giving him a chance here off the holiday break. Hopefully he had some time to regroup, maybe clear his head. I mean, this season has not gone how he wanted it to. It seemed like he was going to be a staple with Bedard in the top six, and we've talked about, and you've mentioned, all the changes he's had this year, moving positions, moving lines, not playing with Bedard, not being on the top power play, and it's resulted in a disappointing season. But I do like that he's got to go earn it. I mean, they've done that with Reichel, and he's been really good with Pat Maroon on the fourth line. So hopefully he can draw some of that magic, because, I mean, that fourth line with Craig Smith and Reichel and Maroon has been very good. So if he struggles, there's no reason for Anders Sorensen not to go back to that. So it's a good little pressure, but hopefully he can go out there and just play, because that's what you want him to do. You know he's a skilled player, and hopefully he can show that.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm, you know, just looking at his numbers, even leading up to the healthy scratches, Kurashev had not had a point since the November 27th game against Dallas, which was right before Thanksgiving. The Hawks had that offensive outburst where Taylor Hall had a hat trick. Connor Bedard snapped a 12-game goal drought. Teuvo Teravainen got off the schneid by scoring, finding the back of the net. I think it was actually Kurashev that recorded the primary assist on the Taylor Hall goal 17 seconds into the game. And so you thought, oh, you know, maybe this is a game where Kurashev is finally starting to, or maybe this could be kind of a coming out game for him. And then unfortunately, he just goes 9 straight games without recording a single point. And Jack, his plus minus rating, I think, you know, plus minus, do with it what you want. It's definitely a flawed stat, but when he's minus 27. And so when you're minus 27 and most of the rest of your teammates are in the single digits, that discrepancy is kind of a little alarming to me. And so that's where I'm like, okay, minus 27 rating, that leads it's worst in the NHL. Kirby Doc is second with minus 24. So there's like a three-point gap between the two of them. And then the next one is Roman Josi at minus 20. And so I just think that the Hawks really need something out of Kurashev. And I think Kurashev, it's a big year for him too, as far as his contract status, because right. He's in the final year of, we know what happened the last time their contract expired. They went to arbitration. And so I think he's got to prove, whether it's going to be in Chicago or somewhere else, he's got to prove that he can be a piece somewhere.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, that's a good point. I mean, plus minus, yeah, I agree with you. Plus minus is what it is. I mean, you never know how, it doesn't tell the whole story, but when it's that bad, it does have some truth to it. So it's a big year. I mean, you would think the contract year motivates some players and they have like that career year, but on the other end, it's sometimes the players can get in their head. So hopefully he can finish strong after, I mean, he's had a 12-day break from playing, including off days. So hopefully he's fresh and he's noticeable tonight for his sake.
Yep, definitely. All right, let's take another break here on Blackhawks Live. Coming up next on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about some World Juniors, which Blackhawks prospects that we should be keeping an eye on. And also, Hawks right now are the favorite to land the number one overall pick in the 2025 NHL Draft. I don't want to look too far ahead, but we'll throw out some names to watch in this World Juniors tournament that might be in the upper echelon of this year's draft. Stay tuned. You're listening to 720 WGN. Welcome back to Blackhawks Live. Charlie Romeliotis here and Jack Heinrich, going all the way up to 5:30. That leads right into our Blackhawks pregame show before tonight's game against the Buffalo Sabres, which you can hear on 720 WGN. You know, one of my favorite things about post-Christmas is the day after Christmas. I know it's Boxing Day up in Canada, but it's also a big hockey day. It's the World Junior Tournament starts, where it's the under-20 prospects, mostly from, you know, either guys that have already been drafted or just undrafted prospects. And the Hawks had 6 guys participate in the tournament last year. A few of them now have gone on to graduate, either turning pro or now they're above 20 years old. And so now they're, you know, they're no longer eligible to participate in these tournaments. So Oliver Moore and Yuri Felkman are the two prospects that the Blackhawks have participating in the tournament. Oliver Moore was on Team USA last year, but this year he's wearing an A on his sweater, so he's part of the leadership group for the Americans. And then Yuri Felkman for Czechia. Oliver Moore ended up winning a gold medal last year with Team USA, and so he's looking to go back-to-back. USA is favored in the tournament, but think for me, so AJ Spellacy actually too, he was among the final cuts for Team USA, so he was on the radar. We know if you watched training camp closely here in Chicago, he was one of the standouts for the Blackhawks. With Oliver Moore, that Team USA had their first game yesterday. He had 4 shots on goal, 16:07 of ice time in a 10-4 win over Germany. He played on the third line in the third line center role with Max Plant next to him on his left wing. And Max Plant actually is the son of Blackhawks assistant coach Derek Plant. So I think there's a unique tie in there. And then Yuri Felkman for Czechia. He had a primary assist, 1 shot, 14:33 of ice time in a 5-3 win over Switzerland yesterday. So both of those prospects are off today, or their teams are off today, and they'll regroup tomorrow as the kind of the tournament continues. The other thing to note to watch though, if you're a Blackhawks fan, we mentioned earlier how Hawks are dead last in the standings, and I know it's early to fire up Tankathon and looking, maybe doing some draft coverage, but if the Blackhawks are going to be hovering around this bottom 3, bottom 5 spot for the rest of the season, or if it's going to be hard for them to overcome that, I think there are some guys to watch at this World Juniors, you know, if you're a Blackhawks fan, to see who could be some possibilities for the Blackhawks if they draft at 1, 2, 3. You know, I think going into the year, James Hagans was kind of the favorite to be the number one overall pick in this draft class. But now it feels like there's kind of a, I don't want to say a 3-way tie, 4-way tie or whatever, but it seems more up in the air than I thought it was going to be at this stage. You know, Porter Martone is a guy to keep an eye on for Team Canada. He's more of a power forward type player, 6'3", 208 pounds. He's been compared to the Tkachuks, Matthew and Brady. And so I think if you're a Chicago fan, you're like, boy, that would look really nice on Connor Bedard's wing for the next 15 years. You know, if the Hawks are able to get their hands on him, James Hagans as well. If you think Connor Bedard is your first line center for the next 15 years, James Hagans would be an elite option as a second line center, similar to, I don't want to put too much on this, but similar how Pittsburgh went Crosby Malkin up the middle, where you basically have 2 number one line centers that could potentially play a significant role for your teams moving forward. Again, not trying to compare the two of them, but just stylistically or just longer term picture where you have 2 elite number ones. And then Michael Misa, who's a guy, he fell short of making Team Canada for the World Juniors this year, but he's a guy that was granted exceptional status a couple years ago to play in juniors. And so I think he was one of like 10 or 10 players to do so. And so there's some fun options for the Blackhawks to watch at the World Juniors, not just Oliver Moore and Yuri Felkman for Chicago and how they're progressing in their own development over in junior or over in college and in juniors or overseas, but also just as we start to look ahead to the 2025 NHL draft and you try to pencil in, even though the Blackhawks were not expecting to be in this position going into the year, they clearly elevated expectations and they didn't want to be dead last in the NHL through the holiday break, most certainly. So I think the Hawks are looking to make strides. And again, I don't think they expected to be in this position, but if they are going to finish in the bottom 5 of the rest of this NHL season, you know, you would almost want to kind of take advantage of playing some competitive hockey throughout the rest of the year, but also looking ahead to the 2025 NHL draft. If there's just one more decent draft class for this Blackhawks organization, I don't think it would be the worst consolation prize in the world for Chicago. All right, we got another break to get to back here on Blackhawks Live. Charlie Romeliotis and Jack Heinrich made a rookie mistake calling Don Dan. I'm still getting my names right here in WGN. So Don, forgive me for that one. It's a dash one for Charlie going into the our Blackhawks pregame show. I'm already a minus. So let's get to some NHL, kind of looking around the NHL as we come out of the holiday break. You know, I was watching following the Detroit Red Wings, they made a coaching change yesterday, firing Derek Lalonde, the 4th coaching change of the season in the NHL. We saw Boston earlier in the year, then St. Louis made a coaching change, bringing in Boston's former coach, Jim Montgomery, and then, of course, Chicago going from Luke Richardson to Anders Sorensen. You know, I was a little bit surprised to see, you know, we were thinking about the surprises and disappointments going into the season, or at least my expectations of some of these teams. And Detroit, I thought they would kind of be, they would be hovering around a wild card spot, and they have just looked totally disoriented as a team, and a lot of their process stats have not been very good this season. So I'm not surprised that they made a coaching change, and Todd McClellan's going to make his debut. He was the guy that got hired, probably should have mentioned that, for Derek Lalonde, who was relieved of his duties. I'm sure that was a tough decision for Steve Yzerman, because he had Derek Lalonde in Tampa Bay and they won Stanley Cups together. And so I'm sure that was not easy on Steve Yzerman, but that felt necessary for Detroit. And then, Jack, how about the disaster that the New York Rangers have been this season? I'm laughing because it's seeming like it's like a different headline every week, you know, whether it was the Trouba trade, the Kaapo Kakko trade, the, you know, Chris Kreider coming out with some comments a few weeks ago, and it kind of, you know, just every day it's seemingly something. And so I'm not sure what's going on with the Rangers, but there feels like there are a lot more disappointments this year than there are surprises in a good way. Like Nashville, Detroit, Buffalo, the New York Rangers, like all of them are in the bottom of the, or towards the bottom of the NHL standings, are performing much lower than expected. And so it's just been a weird year in the NHL so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Nashville, they pretty much won the offseason, and that doesn't mean anything to you yet on the ice, and they're kind of proving that this year, just all the additions they made, and they're hanging around the Blackhawks. They're, what, 3 points ahead of them looking at the standings now, so
yeah,
that's been a big one for me. I thought they were going to be better. And then, yeah, I mean, Detroit, they re-signed Kane. You think they're making another push, and Kane's trying to win towards the end of his career, and they're making a coaching change. So we'll see. I mean, last year Edmonton made a coaching change and then they went on the huge streak. So maybe that'll light the fire under them. But yeah, a lot of some negativity around the holidays here for some of these teams in the NHL.
Yeah, I was watching the press conference from Detroit earlier this morning, and I heard Patrick Kane was talking about just referencing some of the coaching changes that have been made in the past in the middle of the season that has kind of launched teams, whether it was St. Louis in 2019, where they go on and win the cup after being dead last, I think in January, which is crazy to think that they were able to put together a comeback of that magnitude. You know, whether it was Boston going from Bruce Cassidy to Jim, or Vegas going from whoever, I think it was Pete DeBoer to Bruce Cassidy over in Vegas. And so it has worked, you know, kind of these midseason changes. And so we'll see if Detroit responds to it. You mentioned Nashville too. I mean, that they've been a disaster. Just can't score. Feels like they have a lot of redundancy on their roster, like a lot of right-handed shot wingers that could, mm-hmm, that could score, but they don't have center depth. And I think if Ryan O'Reilly is your first line center, I think he's better suited at this stage of his career, more in a second, third line role, and playing more of a checking type role. And so, yeah, it's been tough for the Nashville Predators as well. The one surprise team that I've had on my list has been the Washington Capitals, who have, I mean, last season they were, did they make the playoffs at like a plus 28 or a minus 28
goal differential? Yeah, I think they snuck in
or something.
Yeah,
it was one of those teams. I think they were riding Charlie Lindgren. Like he got really hot late in the season. And so look at the Washington Capitals now. They kind of reshaped a little bit of their identity, bringing in Pierre-Luc Dubois, and they ended up signing a 1B to the 1A of Charlie Lindgren, and signing Logan Thompson. So they have a terrific goaltending tandem. Both of them have been playing very well this season. And I look at their goal differential at 5-on-5. It's plus 23, which is second in the entire NHL, only to Tampa Bay. And Jack, they've largely done this without Alex Ovechkin, who's missed the last 5-6 weeks with a broken leg.
Yeah, and I'm looking at their stats now. Their points leader is Dylan Strome. He's had a really good year, so that's another reason why they've done really well. And I saw that when they came here. Well, the Hawks were able to win that game, but he was leading them in points. So, I mean, he's had a good year, and Ovechkin's return seems close, and they're one of the top teams in the NHL, and just a crazy run with him out. I mean, he was leading the NHL or up there in goals when he went out with the leg injury, and now they're still up at the top, even though they haven't had one of the best players on their team.
Yeah, seemingly they haven't skipped a beat. Curious to see where Ovechkin is going to finish at the end of the season in the goals race, because he's 27 away from catching Wayne Gretzky. And so you figured they still have an entire second half of the season to play. He probably has to score a little bit more than half a goal per game to hit that pace this season. I think it's unlikely, but man, I don't want to rule him out or kind of rule out that possibility of doubting the grade eight in that way. And so we'll see how he finishes. But yeah, you mentioned Dylan Strome, former Blackhawks, has kind of had this career resurgence in Washington, where he goes from not even getting a qualifying offer by the Blackhawks. That's how much he had kind of played his way out of the systematically what the Blackhawks wanted to do. They wanted to craft their team more into a speed type team moving forward, especially under Kyle Davidson. And so they let him walk. Then he has a one year, $3 million deal in Washington, and he turns that into a 5 year, $5 million deal with the Capitals. And he's been one of the best players in the entire NHL, not just the Washington Capitals this season.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, like he struggled some of those years with the Hawks, and he goes to Washington, puts together a couple solid years, gets the contract. Maybe he just relaxes a little bit, you know, like, okay, I got the contract, I'm locked up, I'll be here. And Ovechkin goes out and he picks up the slack. So, I mean, an impressive season for him, and it'll be interesting to see when Ovechkin comes back how they all fit together and keep rolling.
Yeah. All right. The next time we do this show is going to be on Monday at 7 p.m., back to our usual time slot. And it's going to be after, I believe the Hawks are practicing later in the afternoon on that Monday at Wrigley Field to get ready for the Winter Classic. So we'll have a little bit of a Winter Classic preview on our next show on Monday at 7 o'clock. That's going to do it for this edition of Blackhawks Live.